بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. This is what we were commanded to say, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, and He praises those who say this phrase, إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. And the meaning of this phrase is actually really profound. And while we say it at any calamity, in particular it's known that we say it when someone passes away and leaves us for the next stage in their journey, in their lives. And when you actually think about what it means, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, it literally means to Allah we belong. Like, we literally belong to Allah. We don't. Allah is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Allah is the King of kings. He's the owner, the Malik Yawmiddin, the master, the owner of the Day of Judgment. Malik Yawmiddin, the King of the Day of Judgment. He's the Lord of the worlds, Rabbul Alameen. He literally owns us. We cannot do anything. We could not be born. We couldn't exist. We cannot exist. We cannot breathe. We cannot see. We cannot do anything without our Creator. And that is why when we say inna lillah, like, we literally belong to Allah. Like, imagine your own belongings, something that you own, your car, you know, your phone, and you lent it to someone, you gave it to someone out of your fadl, out of your virtue, without anything else in return. Allah has given us this life, He's given us this body, He's given us this soul, He's given us this ability to breathe. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and to Him we're going to return. And to Him is the return. We will be returning. And subhanAllah, like, when we think about when someone passes away, we think that they've left. But actually, subhanAllah, for the believer, for the Muslim, for the one who puts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, this life is a torture. This life is a life of pain. And so many people, they do not acknowledge this, or they don't accept this. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that ad-dunya sijnul muslim wa jannatul kafir. That this dunya is a prison for the believer. Literally, it's a prison for the believer. Wa jannatul kafir. And it's a paradise for the disbeliever. And this reminds me of a Jewish person who, at the time of, it was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, one of the Khalifas, about 100 years after the Khulafa, roughly. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was very rich, and he was dressed in amazing robes, and he was on a beautiful horse, and he was wearing this, you know, luxurious clothes. And this Jewish man, he was poor, so he went to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and he said to him, didn't your prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, didn't he say to you, ad-dunya sijnul muslim wa jannatul kafir, that this dunya is a prison for the believers and it's a paradise for the kafir? He said, yes, he did indeed say that. He said, well, look at you, look at the way you're dressed, look at the way you live, you're rich, and look at me. And he's talking about himself, saying that he's poor, but he's not Muslim, he's not a believer. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he responded, he's by saying that yes, this dunya is indeed a prison for the believer, because, and what I have now is prison compared to what I have in the hereafter. And what you have now, this whatever poverty that this Jewish person was facing, if you don't accept Islam, what you have now is paradise compared to what's coming for you in the hereafter. May Allah protect us. And so, when we say inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and when we couple that with الدنيا سجن المسلم وجنة الكافر, that we literally belong to Allah. And this world for the believer is a prison. So what happens when a person is in prison? Like, just imagine for a second, you're in a cell, or you're in a prison. What are you doing in that cell? You are counting down to the time when you leave the cell. That's your entire purpose of that cell, or your entire time. Let's say, may Allah protect us, someone has a prison sentence of 10 years or 20 years or 5 years or whatever. Every day he's going to be counting how long left. How long left? I want to get out of this prison. And it's similar to a baby, right? The baby is in the mother's womb for just 9 months. And there's a countdown to birth, because once the baby is constrained inside life before birth, right? Life before birth, the baby is constrained. He or she only has a little bit of space, swimming around, doesn't do much. There's no joys. There's not much joy. There's not much. And then suddenly they're born. Now they enter the next stage of their life. And in that stage, there's more joy. There's also some pain. And then that's when the test starts. But life continues. When someone passes away, they go to the third period of their life. And that is the barzakh, in the grave. And then after that, obviously after the Day of Judgment, the fourth period begins, which is inshallah in Jannah. So for the believer, that's when they come out. When a person passes away and he believes in Allah and he believes in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he believes in the angels and the books and the messengers and the last day and Qadr, and he tries his best. Of course, all of us, we make mistakes and we sin. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that kullu ibn Adam khatta' wa khayrul khatta'in at-tawwabun, that all the children of Adam, they sin. All the children of Adam sin, they sin. Wa khayrul khatta'in at-tawwabun, and the best of those who sin are those who repent. So we all sin, we all have mistakes. And Allah says in the Quran also that قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That, O my slaves who've transgressed against themselves, meaning, O sinners, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, don't despair of the mercy of Allah. Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, Allah forgives all sins, إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, that He is the Forgiver, the Merciful. So subhanAllah, when someone goes to the next world, they're in the barzakh, which is the period in the grave before the Day of Judgment. That period is the third period of their life. The first period, both the body and the soul is weak. In the second period, the body is stronger. The body is stronger than the soul, which is this dunya. And then in the third period, the soul is actually stronger than the body, which is in the grave. And then the final period, both the soul and the body will be the strongest, which is on after the Day of Judgment, right? In Jannah, inshallah. So, you know, subhanAllah, like when I look at Baja Shabina in particular, and I look at the memories that I have of someone who was always kind, who was always, you know, merciful, even when she would tell us off, like it was done in a really nice way. We called her Biddy as a joke, you know, because she was the one who was responsible. And she cared. She genuinely cared. She had a good heart. She wanted goodness. When you look at someone like that, then everybody else talks about her in this way, in a good way, in a positive way, and they have positive memories, then no doubt that is a good sign for that person. And so, you know, subhanAllah, the best thing that we can do, and this is exactly what she wants from us right now, is to make dua. right? This is what a person who passes away wants, is to make dua. This is the only thing out of a few things that can benefit a person after they pass away. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that when a person dies, his actions are all cut off. Like, he can't do any actions, right? And then he said, except for three things. So one is sadaqah jariyah, charity that they're giving, ongoing charity that benefits. Like, for example, if someone creates a well or creates a masjid, even after they die, someone's still drinking from that water, someone is still praying in that masjid, so they get the reward for that. Sadaqah jariyah. Two, ilmun yuntafa'u bih, that knowledge that that person has taught other people, whether, for example, if they taught their children how to pray, and the children carry on praying, and then they teach their children, and they teach their children, the person who taught them gets the reward, even after they've passed away. If a person has taught their children to give charity, and then after the person dies, the children carry on giving charity, that person gets reward. If the person teaches the child, you know, good manners or how to recite the Quran, or and then the children carry on doing this, or anyone that they taught, they carry on doing this, and then they teach other people, and then they teach other people. So it's like it goes on and on and on, you know, for as long as this knowledge is benefiting people, right? And that original person who started teaching will always get the reward. And that's why we can never be better than the Sahaba, and the Sahaba can never be better than the Prophet ﷺ, because all of knowledge came through, all the knowledge of our deen, of our religion, comes via the Prophet ﷺ, and then through the Sahaba, and then it eventually reaches us. So we can never be better than them, because everything that we ever learn has to have come through the Sahaba. And the same thing goes, like, if you teach other people, then subhanAllah, like, every time they carry on doing that good deed, that you get the reward for that. So this is something for all of us to do. Like, and the third thing that the Prophet ﷺ said is the thing that benefits a person after they've died is a righteous child who makes dua for him or her. So when a person, and it doesn't just have to be a child, the hadith mentions a child because that's normally the person who makes dua for you is normally your child. Right, but anyone who makes dua for you or for Baji Shabina, she gets that reward. And this literally, you can do nothing better than making dua for her. And we really underestimate the power of dua. We really underestimate the power of dua. You know, and when we make dua, we should do it sincerely, and we should do it in private, and we should do it with our heart, and we should do it in a way that, you know, like, in detail, not just, oh Allah, forgive, you know, Baji Shabino. Not just like that. Obviously, we should do that as well. But more specific du'as. Oh Allah, when she goes into the grave, make the questioning easy for her. Oh Allah, when she's questioned by the angels, make the questioning easy for her. Make her grave a garden from among the gardens of paradise. Make it spacious, you know. And so on and so forth. On the Day of Judgment, let her get her book in the right hand. Let her enter Jannah without reckoning or punishment. You know, and so on and so forth. You go into detail. Go across, may Allah let her go across the bridge of Sirat faster than the speed of light. All of these things, you think about the Day of Judgment and the trials of the Day of Judgment and the trials, you know, once being lowered into the grave. When that is what really counts. And subhanAllah, a believer who reads the Qur'an and he understands that message from his Lord and from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, he truly understands that these small things of the dunya are just so worthless, are so worthless. When we're latching on to things of the dunya, it is really, really worthless. What really matters right now is what happens from now onwards. And this is where dua is so important, because your dua actually is accepted, inshallah, by Allah, and it eases a person's punishment, and also it increases the person's blessings and their rewards in the grave. And so this is something that we should do for each other when we all pass away. And I hope that everyone will do it for me. And I'm sure everyone, all of you, whoever's listening to this, hopes that other people do it for you. So in the same way, you know, we should be doing this in our sajda. And by the way, you can make dua in your sajda, in your prayers. And the Prophet ﷺ explained that in fact, that is the closest that a slave is to his or her Lord. In sajda, in prostration, after saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, you can make dua for the deceased. You can say Allahumma ghfir lahum, Allahumma ghfir laha, warhamha, etc. Right? And if you don't know Arabic, you can also do it in your own language. And that's perfectly fine according to the stronger opinion among the scholars. Right? So you can make that dua. And by the way, just as a side point, you can make any dua in sajda, and we should make that a habit, that after saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, we should make any dua for Jannah, for, you know, anything, for peace, for happiness, for removing anxiety, for all of these things. Okay, so we talked about how can we benefit someone who's passed away. You know, obviously do good deeds that she taught us, or, you know, do good deeds, make dua for her. You can also give in charity. So for example, if there is, you can give on her behalf. So you say, oh Allah, this, I'm giving this charity on behalf of Baji Shabina. And inshallah, that reward gets to her, right? So for example, if there are projects like building masjids or orphanages, or, you know, building a well, or, you know, distributing mushafs or Quran to masjids or people, or whatever it may be, good deeds like this, you can donate towards that in her name. And inshallah, obviously it's for the sake of Allah, but you're giving the reward to her and it reaches her according to the stronger opinion among the scholars. Another thing is that really is important is the importance of sticking to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, at the time of death, their emotions do tend to run quite high, and obviously this is obvious. We've lost someone that is so beloved to us, someone who, you know, it was a part of our lives. We have very strong memories of her, so of course emotions run high. But one of the things that we all need to do is just remember that everybody's feeling pain, and feel compassion for one another, and think about other people as well. But also, we should remember that, subhanAllah, it's not about the emotions, it's about what benefits her now. And that is what we need to focus on. So every decision that we make, we should try and make it in a way that it benefits her, right? What and how does that benefit? By looking at how did the Prophet ﷺ do the janazah? How did he conduct himself after people died? How did he deal with that? And so on and so forth. We should try and stick to the sunnah as much as is possible. And of course, it's not always going to be possible to do everything exactly according to the sunnah, but as much as possible, we should do that, because that is what benefits her. The other thing to bear in mind is at the graveyard itself, when the person is lowered into the grave, when the deceased is lowered into the grave, and people can put the mud over the body, etc. That is done, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say to the Sahaba after burying someone at that point, he would say, "Istaghfiru li akhikum," you know, seek forgiveness for your brother, because he is being questioned now, right? And that is the point where the angels come and actually question. And these are not fairy tales, brothers and sisters. These are actual realities that are going to happen. These are actual realities that are going to happen. And therefore, at that point, spend a lot of time making dua for the deceased. You make plenty of dua for her, you know, and as I said earlier, especially in detail, as much detail as possible. And you know, these are the important things. Now, there were a few questions about who can see a deceased person. Generally, it should only be the mahrams. If it's a female, it should only be the mahrams, and other females can also see. So the mahrams are, of course, only the brothers, the father, the sons, and the immediate nephews. So the sons of her brothers and her sisters, right? The immediate nephews, those are the mahrams. And so that is, ideally, that should be done, inshallah, if possible. If it causes a bigger fitna, then we shouldn't make a big deal out of it. But ideally, that should be the case, inshallah. In terms of, can we recite Quran for the dead, for the deceased? There is a difference of opinion among the ulama. Some of the scholars, they hold the view that you cannot recite the Quran for the deceased. Other scholars hold the view that you can, if it's done in private, if it's not done, you know, on a specific day and things like that, because that wasn't reported by the Sahaba or by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, some people, they do it on the third day or the 40th day, etc., after 4 months. This is something that is not reported by the Sahaba or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's always better. And Fatima radiallahu anha did not do this for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali radiallahu anhu did not do it for Fatima, his wife, when she passed away. It's not reported that the Sahaba did it for each other. So you don't do it on specific days. My personal view is, as long as you do it privately and it's not done on specific days, then it's fine. And inshallah, the reward will get to them. But it's always better to stick to what the Prophet ﷺ explicitly mentioned. So he mentioned making dua. He mentioned, for example, doing hajj for them. He mentioned, for example, giving charity. These things were specifically mentioned. Quran wasn't actually specifically mentioned. And some scholars just make an analogy that, okay, if other good deeds were allowed, this can be as well. And other scholars said, no, let's specifically stick to whatever the Prophet ﷺ specifically allowed. So there is a valid difference of opinion among the ulama on this point. Look, the best thing that we can always do is, as I said, the best thing is dua, because there's no doubt about that. The hadiths are very clear about this, that when a person makes dua for someone who's passed away, then that is the thing that is going to benefit them the most, inshallah. And you know, also, often goes to say, you know, subhanAllah, we belong to Allah. I started with this, and I'll end with this, that we literally belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we shouldn't feel bad in the sense that, why has she gone at this young age and things like this. We literally belong to Allah. Allah has given us her for a certain period of time, and he's taken her. And every single one of us will also be taken away. And so the most important thing for all of us is to be ready for that day. One man, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, when will the day of judgment be? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he answered this person. He was a kind of oldish man. He answered the person by pointing to a young child. And he said, when this young child is old, your day of judgment would already have come. And so the Prophet ﷺ didn't actually answer the question about the day of judgment, but he simply told the person that, you know, his own day of judgment, like everyone else, everyone's got their own kind of judgment day, lowercase judgment day, like meaning when a person dies, their judgment begins. So we should be focused. And the Prophet ﷺ is basically telling us to focus on our own judgment days, meaning our own time when we die. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give Baji Shabina the highest levels of Jannah and forgive all of her sins, and without any reckoning, without any punishment, and to make her grave wide and spacious, and a garden from the gardens of Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give sabr to the whole family, the mom, the husband, the children, the brothers, the sisters, the cousins, and everybody else who is, you know, together feeling pain for this, you know, subhanAllah, losing her now. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give everyone sabr and also to allow us to benefit her in the best way, and inshallah to continue that legacy of Islam and, you know, teaching and having good character like she had, and, you know, and so on and so forth, and responsibility, etc. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.